right. Good morning, folks. It's always tough to follow after Antonio because he has such great data. This is a study. This is an evaluation that we did looking at nutrient availability estimates for manure. I want to acknowledge my co-author, who's Caitlin Conover. She used to work for EPA, and she did a lot of the legwork associated with this project. And there was a lot of legwork to dig this information out. How do I advance the slides? There we go. All right. So basically, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to say, okay, with availability, if I'm putting down 180 pounds of anhydrous ammonia, how much total nitrogen in the manure do I need to apply? That's the core concept. And for that, what we do is we estimate what is typically termed plant available nitrogen in the manure. And we know that there's plenty of literature out there that demonstrates that there's many different factors that affect availability, both for nitrogen in particular, and I've got some of them listed up there. I'm showing this particular set of data. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on literature review, but this demonstrates that it's not only the variability from source to source or location to location, but even within a location from year to year, you can have variability in availability. Mean there of 80%, but ranges from about 60 to 100% available. So it demonstrates some of the challenges of working with availability. When we move over to the phosphorus side, it's much less evidence that there is a difference in availability. This is a lab study from Missouri, unpublished data showing that when you add both litter to soil or add poultry litter to soil or fertilizer to soil, that they both raise soil test P equivalently. This is a study in the literature from it's a field study from Wisconsin showing in some cases that types of litter were less than 100% available compared to phosphorus. But the general sense, at least my sense of the literature, is clearly nitrogen from manure is less available than fertilizer and for manure P, you know, it's likely to be typically similarly available to fertilizer P in its ability to provide phosphorus to a crop. And that's the general, the sense of the literature. So what did we do? Our focus was to look at, we went into the USDA statistics, figured out what the top 12 states were for animal production for finished hogs, finished beef, broilers, and dairy. We then went and surveyed those states to determine their nutrient availability calculations. We looked at three different sources. We looked at the regulatory source related to the MPDS permits. We looked at NRCS 590 and 633 standard to see what their recommendation was. And we also looked at land grant publications. And we did these comparisons in 2014. From that analysis, we ended up having to survey 30 states in order to get, you know, some states have multiple animal types, some had just one animal type that fit in that, but we ended up surveying 30 states. And there's some challenges when you start looking into this. EPA, in their requirements, state that you're supposed to, every state is supposed to have a source for where you can determine the nutrient availability in manure. When we went to the 30 states, in 11 of them, there was no information available on nutrient availability calculations in manure in terms of what the factors should be. In 9 of those states, they cited the NRCS standard. And in those 9 states, in 2 of those states, the NRCS standard didn't have the factors. So at the end of the day, we were only able to find factors from a regulatory perspective for about 60% of the states. And when you look at NRCS, when you look at state recommendations, you know, there are gaps in each of those in various states. From here on out, I'm going to be working with the state land grant recommendations. That's what we ended up using for this particular analysis, looking at those recommendations. All right, so and then for the comparisons, we used a standard manure test. It's a book value. I guess the key thing to recognize here is the hog slurry and dairy slurry are liquid manures, obviously. The hog slurry is about 60% inorganic N. On the other side, you have sow manure, broiler litter, beef feedlot manure. You know, broiler litter runs typically about 10% inorganic N. So that's a little higher in this case, but in this book value. But the point, and for this talk, I'm going to focus primarily on the hog and broiler litter numbers. When you look at nitrogen availability calculations, there's two approaches. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there's a total N approach where you take the total N of the manure and multiply it by a factor. There's another approach where you look at either the organic N as a separate factor and the ammonium N as a separate retention factor and multiply through. And so because there's these two different approaches, when we look at reporting nitrogen availability, we reported it based on percent availability in the manure, not as individual factors. So this is I'm going to present some of the data, quite a bit of the data we came up with. Here's the states of the top 12 for hog production. In those 12 states, we've got a range there from 60 to 100%, depending on which state. Some of these states have ranges, so obviously, when you're going to have a graph like this, we ended up showing a particular range. If I switch over to surface application, a lot more uncertainty there. Now, now we've got a range that goes from 13% to 90% for availability of nitrogen in surface-applied hog, liquid hog manure. Is there a pattern there? Some of those western states seem to be a little lower, but then if you go over and look at Michigan through Ohio and Pennsylvania, that, they're lower there. But you're hard-pressed to say, well, there's a clear biological process there, but there is quite a bit of variability among those estimates. So if you look at those numbers across the total, the mean for injection is 75% available with a standard deviation of 10. For surface application, it's almost half, 41% with a standard deviation of 23%. And I guess what I would point out to you as you look at this is that if you think about our understanding of manure application and volatilization losses, when you put it on the surface, there's a lot more uncertainty about how much is going to be available. I don't show literature review on this, but one literature review we did on this, the average surface applied hog manure was around 50% loss, but the range was 20 to 80%. So this, in a sense, reflects that different states are coming up with different interpretations of how to deal with that variability in surface applied manure, and it's reflected in a big difference in the estimated availability from state to state. This has real implications. Hog industry is a competitive industry. It costs money to spread manure. More acres you have to go on. And so this is just this then translates out, if you're going to put down a nitrogen-based rate, this is saying 100 kilograms of P/N per hectare. How much manure can I put down? Well, in Ohio, you can put down nearly three times, you can put over three times as much as you can put down in Iowa of the same material. This has other implications getting to phosphorus. I know this is a phosphorus session, so this translates into dramatic differences at an N-based rate of how much phosphorus you can put on. With those Ohio numbers, and I would just emphasize, I'm not picking on Ohio. There's actually states that are worse, but Iowa, Indiana, and Ohio. I mean, those are there's states that we don't anticipate dramatic differences in climate and situation, but yet in a fairly uniform climate, they have much different recommendations. And in Ohio, that amount of phosphorus is in one application is. You're probably able to go from a soil that has essentially no plant-available phosphorus to the recommended levels in almost one application. So dramatic loading differences between those approaches. Here's the numbers for broiler production. I'm just showing the map with the surface-applied numbers. Notice that we're looking at an average around 63% for injected, 55% surface-applied. Well, this is a much more stable estimate because of the low percentage of inorganic N in broiler manure. so it makes it a much more predictable material when you surface apply it from an availability perspective, and that's reflected in the differences among the numbers. You're seeing two of the states that we showed up that we weren't able to find a statewide recommendation for those. Looking at the differences in P application, even with those, that's still between Alabama and Kentucky, and that's still about a 30% difference in application rate, and that's reflected then, of course, in the amount of phosphorus that's applied. One thing I want to point out, notice, we always talk about loading soils with poultry litter over hog manure, but if you combine a low availability factor in surface application, you can reach equal loading levels with hog manure as you do with poultry litter. So if the system is not set up appropriately, both can be significant sources of phosphorus. I'm not going to spend time on these numbers, but just show them, and this way they're in the presentation on online. That was the previous one was the dairy. Here's the beef numbers. I want to step over to the phosphorus availability estimates. These actually are, in many states, are harder to find, but they're not necessarily explicitly listed, but they're inherently are assumed when you look at the types of numbers. They say, well, for how much manure you apply, how much phosphorus there, it implies 100% availability. Again, there's some states are estimating less than 100% availability, others are at 100% availability. But I would emphasize that if you're in a state that applies at a reduced availability, it implies the ability to put more manure on a particular piece of ground in a regulated situation. So what have we learned from this? Recommendations reflect that the state, they reflect a lot the state of the science. We know that when you inject manure, it's a more predictable source of manure. I mean, Antonio acknowledged and mentioned that in his presentation. And consequently, our ability or the types of availability factors that we come to in all the different states are more in accordance with each other. The high variability related to nitrogen volatilization losses is reflected in our inability to agree on the approach and, state dynamics in terms of politics, people's view of how that should work, create those state-to-state differences. And in that sense, I don't think there's a clear trend, dry states are lower, cold states are lower, whatever, but the differences have competitive and environmental consequences. As somebody who's had to work a lot looking at different states, it's very difficult to work and get this information. I work with setbacks, I work with these types of numbers, and it is a headache of a major degree to go from state to state and find these numbers. And it really doesn't have to be that way if we would agree that there'd be some standard place this information was put. For me, the natural place it would be put into is the NRCS 590 standard. The 590 standard had to list the regulatory requirement, the state land grant recommendation, and whatever number they're using. If that was part of the national standard, it would make life a lot easier for people who work across state boundaries and for people who develop software and software tools like myself. So I am a extension guy, so I'm giving you a slide there that tells you what I tell farmers to do. But from there, I'll take a couple questions. If you have time. By the way, if you looked up there and I got it really wrong, feel free to come up and talk to me.
Yeah, you need to look at the Iowa recommendation.
Could I tell you, every time I give this talk, no matter what number I come up with, somebody from Iowa doesn't like it.